The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
In the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, and verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And then in Matthew, chapter 1, and verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto them in a dream, saying, Joseph, now, son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord, of the Lord, by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And let me just say this, they were trying to intimate on the media, the Me Too crowd, that Mary was not compliant and basically was forced on her, which is total garbage. Obviously, these people are illiterate and can't read, because an angel appeared to her. She could have said no, but she said, be it unto me according to your word. Don't let people out there talk rubbish of that which they know nothing about. I don't care if they are Harvard professors. They're idiots and educated beyond their intellect. Emmanuel, God with us. But it actually goes a step further than that. Not only is he with us, he's in us. Because he came to make his home in you. Emmanuel, God with us and in us, not just a God far out in the heavens. How many remember that song that they sang? I think it was Bette Midler. God is watching us. God is watching us. God is watching us from a distance. No, he's right up close. Yes, he's right up close. All that stuff's nonsense. The Father sent Jesus to die for us, to pay the price for our sin, so that each one of us could personally, intimately know the Father. Which, if you look at religion, that's not allowed. Religion, you always have to go through somebody. You have to come through a pope. You have to come through a guru. You have to come through some bishop. You have to kiss the ring. You have to get to somebody that's closer to God than you are so that he can put a special word in for you. Sorry, you fail. That's why he sent Jesus, so you could know him intimately and you could go straight to the Father in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? Hebrews 8 and verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and iniquities. I will remember them no more. Which, how many of you, if you sit and think for a moment, you can remember some of your sins and your iniquities? Don't go there. Because the Bible says he comes and he removes them as far as the east is from the west. Can you say amen? And he puts them in the sea of forgetfulness and, in actual fact, erects a sign that says no fishing. So don't go digging up old cows out of the ditch. Are you with me? If you've repented of it and you've done everything you can to make right, then the blood has come and washed you clean. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you look at me like you're not too sure if that really happened. But the blood washes you clean. And then the Bible even says the blood purges your conscience from dead works. So like the Apostle Paul could say, received us, we've wronged nobody. You could have said, excuse me, whoa. You went around killing people. What are you talking about? Receive us, we've wronged nobody. But that Saul died on the road to Damascus. And then Paul was born by the Spirit of God. Amen. That old, dead individual that plagues you, when you come to Jesus, is dead and gone. That's why we have water baptism, so we can bury it and you can attend the funeral. So that if anybody wants to come and remind you of your past, you go, look, that's how I used to be, but you don't understand. I died. I died with Christ. I was buried with Christ, and I'm raised to a new life in Christ. Amen. Amen. Don't allow people to drag you back to the muck and the mire of the past when you've been redeemed and you've been washed in the blood of Jesus. So Jesus came as one of us to live with us, to die for us, so he could come and live and dwell, abide in us, and we could live eternally in his presence. Amen. Again, something we couldn't earn, something we could not purchase, that he came and did himself. And I know there are many people in the church, well, I know that, Brother Rodney. Praise God. I know that. Yeah, but didn't it your face at least reflect that which you know? Because obviously some of you have not updated your Facebook. Because your face declares something else. Let your face be updated. Jesus came to show us the Father's heart and introduce us to him. He came from the Father. He was the express image of the Father. Everywhere he went about, during his earthly walk, he healed the sick, cleansed the lepers, raised the dead, forgave people's sins, and blessed people. That's all he did. Not one time did people come, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. No. Not you. Not one time. I'm willing. Be thou clean. Not one time did people come to him and he pushed them away. Even when the disciples, remember when the children were flooding him and the disciples were trying to stop him, he said, no. Suffer the little children. Forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. That's why a lot of times in the meetings, you know, a baby starts crying, people get all cranky about it. Crying babies, they don't bother me. That's what babies do, they cry. How are you going to, what, are you going to pull out the batteries? What are you going to do? Baby's crying. Pull the batteries out. You can't. It's a baby. Crying babies do not bother me. Snoring saints irritate me to no end. I just saw somebody wake up there quickly. You come to these meetings, you've got to carry those little five-hour energy things. Don't worry. We're not going 5 hours today. So Jesus came for everyone. He didn't come for only certain groups of people. He came for everyone. He came to save whosoever. So it doesn't say John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that only certain people that believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. No, that whosoever believeth in him, say this off me, I'm a whosoever. And a whosoever can get whatsoever. Yes. Amen. Yes. Say, I'm a whosoever. And I can get whatsoever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For God sent not his son the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Which, if you look at some people that go out to preach the gospel, and they're actually not preaching the gospel, because everywhere they go, they're cranky. They always look at people telling them, you're going to go to hell. Let me ask you a question. How is telling people out there in the world you're going to hell going to help? You go to New York City and you tell the New Yorkers on the streets, you're going to hell. New Yorker looks at you and says, you're going to hell too. New Yorkers don't care. Telling people they're going to hell is not preaching the gospel. Here's what the gospel is. You don't have to go to hell. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus came and paid the price for you. There's a whole thing that became prevalent. I don't know how prevalent it is today, but they actually call it the way of the master. Okay. So, I mean, I was confronted by the people that actually teach this stuff. They met me in the airport in L.A. and wanted to hand me stuff to tell me this is how you win souls. So, basically, what you do is you walk up to people and you go to them and say, have you ever told a lie? What is most people going to go? Yeah, of course. Have you ever taken something that didn't belong to you? Yeah. Have you ever looked at somebody and you had thoughts towards them in your heart? Yeah. Well, by your own confession, you're a lying thief and you're an adulterer. And then that's what you do. You're a lying, adulterous thief. Because they want to use that scripture, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. But here's what they don't understand. They're trying to do the work of the Holy Spirit and actually trying to convict people of their sin. Our job is not to convict anybody of their sin. Our job is to preach the gospel. The gospel convicts. If you try to convict, you end up condemning. Because we come right in behind them with the gospel soul-winning script, where the person they just told they're going to hell is now cussing them out. 30 seconds later, one of the Holy Ghost soul winners come right in there and use the gospel, and the person's crying, accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So what was the difference? Do you see any place in the gospel where Jesus walked up to somebody saying, you a lying, adulterous thief? There's not one scripture. In actual fact, you'll see the passage where the woman was caught in adultery and they brought her to Jesus and they wanted to stone her according to the law. And Jesus, they said, we've caught her in the act of adultery. If you caught someone in the act of adultery, you must have been looking. So it means you were looking for somebody that you could catch in the act, breaking the law, so that you could then execute them to the extent of the law. And they brought her to Jesus and said, Lord, we caught this woman in the act of adultery. If it was anybody else but Jesus, he would say, bring the rocks, bring the stones. We're going to kill her right now. You'll pay the price, you filthy adulterer. Under the law, that's what was supposed to happen. But Jesus didn't even say a word. He never said one word. He's bent down, started writing in the sand with his finger. Somebody said, I wonder what he wrote. We must have written something, because one by one they were dropping their rocks. So we must have written something. He could have been writing, who was the woman you were with last night, Jack? And he kept writing. They kept dropping their rocks until there was no one there. No more accuser. He said to the woman, where are your accusers? She said, I have none. He said, I don't condemn you either. Go sin no more. That's the way of the master. You see, religion won't accept what took place by the coming of the babe born in the manger. They won't accept that he came to show us the Father. They won't accept that when he hung on the cross, that he became sin for us. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And then the word says, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. No, No, that's fine. I know the Bible says that, but you have to, you can't earn this. It was already bought for you at Calvary. All you got to do is believe it. And in order to receive it, you have to humble yourself. You have to humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Can you say amen? So he came to save the world, not to reject, not to condemn, or pass sentence upon the world. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. And whosoever, there's that whosoever again, calls the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10, 11, 12, and 13. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between Jew or Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich. There's that word rich. Unto all that call on his name. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm so glad I'm a whosoever. Jesus died for every person in every nation. He didn't die for one nationality. He does not favor one nationality over another. Galatians 3 and verse 8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. I'm of the seed of Abraham. Are you with me? Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. So, because of Abraham's obedience, we're blessed today. There is no one who comes to God in faith that he will ever reject. People come to me, they say, I feel like I committed the unpardonable sin, and I feel so bad. I said, look, if you committed it, you would not even feel bad about it, so just relax. You haven't done it. Are you with me? Because a person that's already crossed that line, they don't really care. So you haven't done it. So relax. Stop beating yourself up. If you're looking for a cross here at the river, you come to the wrong place. The cross already took place. But if you're looking for a resurrection, you came to the right place. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? So the whole purpose, and here's the thing, people always get mushy and gooey over over the babe, you know, in the manger. Watch. I mean, even Disney has the big things, you know, and everybody, I see people with the big cigar in their mouth crying, you know, the babe in the manger. But the fact is, he's not a babe in the manger. And then they get all that way over him hanging on the cross, but he's not hanging on the cross. So religion wants to even keep him as a babe in the manger or keep him as one hanging on the cross. No, no, he's risen from the dead, seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's praying for you. Hold it. Jesus is praying for you. You don't seem to understand. Jesus is praying for you. No, you didn't get it. Jesus is praying for you right now. Somebody said, I need somebody to pray. You got Jesus. Pray for you right now. The Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for you. He's praying for you. You know why he's praying for you? Because he is the author and the finisher of your faith. In other words, he started it and he's going to finish it. The Bible says he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. 2,000 years ago, he knew you. 2,000 years ago, he knew you by name. He knows everything there is to know about you. And on the cross, he paid the price for you. Shed his blood for you. Bore the brunt of the wrath of God for you. Somebody said, well, how do I get the freedom? How do I get that liberty? By identifying yourself with him on the cross. He was our substitute. He took the place of another. He came and took my place. I was supposed to die, but he died in my stead. I'll never forget when that movie, The Passion of the Christ, came out, and there was a showing in Atlanta, you know, with all these religious people and whatever. And they said, "You want to go see it?" And I said, "Sure." So we get there, the theater is packed, you know. And of course, the whole thing's in Aramaic and whatever. Anybody seen The Passion of the Christ? Okay. And people don't know that. They labeled that anti-Semitic. Well, that thing went through Saudi Arabia. That thing went through Turkey. Tens of thousands of Turks were crying and getting saved. Tens of thousands of Saudi Arabians were getting saved because they all thought it was anti-Semitic, and they were all getting touched by it. They were getting touched because they saw for the first time what he did for you at Calvary. So, I mean, I know the whole story. I grew up with it. I'm watching it on the cross. And, of course, they said, you know, that the Jews put him there. So, you know what I did in the movie? I mean, in the theater, I jumped up and I started shouting at the top of my voice. In the theater, like a total crazy person, I jumped up and go, "It was me! It was me! I put him there! It was my sin that put him on the cross!" And I'm crying my eyes out and I'm going, "It's me! If you want to blame anybody, it was me! I did it! I did it! I did it! I did it!" It was like, calm down. You want to know why I did that? Because I identified with what he did for me. And then when the movie was coming to an end, I thought, I'm going to give an altar call right now. They're playing the credits and the music scene. I run right to the front. "If you just saw what happened at Calvary," and the security started making a run for me. I told my guys, block them, block security. I said, "If you want to accept him as your Lord and Savior, you pray this out right now. Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me in your blood." And I'm like a crazy person. Security, and our guys were blocking security. And then I quickly finished the prayer and ducked through the exits right down the front into a side alley onto a street in Atlanta before they could arrest me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. He came to destroy the works of the devil, to set the captives free. Luke 9:56, "For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." Jesus came to preach good news and to do good works. Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance of the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." The day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. He came to do good, to save us, and completely deliver us from the devil and all his evil works. Amen. Why do Christians keep acting like they need to still be delivered? Why do they act like they have to continually get saved again? There has to be a revelation of what was done for you at Calvary's cross. I'm not telling you not to come forward. When I was a little boy, the pastor I had, he's now with the Lord. He could preach on hell so well, you can hear the flames and smell the sulfur. There were times I went forward because I'd been naughty during the week. And there were times I went forward because he preached so hard and nobody responded to the altar call that I felt. He worked so hard, I needed to go forward. Just so he felt like something happened. And one of the deacons went to my father and said, "Why don't you stop your two boys?" Because I'd look over at my brother, I'd nod, he'd nod, and we'd go forward. Sometimes we were the only two at the altar, you know. And the deacon said to my father, "Why don't you stop your boys from going up all the time?" My father looked at them and said, "When they've got it, they won't go anymore. They're not going to go." Can you tie that for me quickly? Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you, dear brother. May you be blessed today. I didn't want to trip over my lace. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Say this after me. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Sin, sickness, disease, and death are product of sin. 1 John 3:8. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. So once he's come and done that work in you, then your job for the rest of your life is to enforce the destruction of the devil and his kingdom and his works. You have to say, I tell you what, he wrecked my life. I'm going to wreck everything he does. I'm going to take all these people. I'm going to rob him. I'm going to pillage. I'm going to go from town to town, village to village. I'm going to take as many souls as I can. The devil will rue the day he ever touched me. He'll rue the day he ever touched my family, my friends, my loved ones. Why? Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. It's almost like people don't know really who they are. They don't know who they are. It's not about being arrogant in yourself. We couldn't do any of this. But if he did it for you, then can't you walk in the light of that? Yes, just walk in it. He needs you. He needs your hands, your feet. Someone says, yeah, but I missed it. Yeah, I blew it. If we're going off of your perfection, we're all in trouble. So we might as well just quit right now while we're ahead. Hello? Hello? Luke 19 and verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. The Greek word for save is the word sozo, which means to save, to deliver, to protect, to heal, to preserve, to do well, or to make whole. And then John 10:10. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. But I'm come that you might have and enjoy life, and that you might have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. If it overflows, then it's going to overflow from you to everybody around you. Everywhere you go, you're going to carry abundant life. Everywhere you go, you're going to carry Jesus. You are his hands. You are his feet. You are his mouthpiece. And everywhere you go, you're going to bring good news. They're going to say, the good news people arrived. Everything was bad. Everything was going nowhere. But the good news people arrived. And everything changed. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 I pray that God uses you this week. I pray the Lord uses you this week with your family, with your friends, with your loved ones. I pray as you go about, even those that are doing the final moments of Christmas shopping, which you should have already been done that, but if you go, that you'll carry this good news, that you'll carry the gospel, that you will pray with people, that people are going to get saved this week, people are going to get healed this week, people are going to get delivered this week, people are going to get set free this week, because Jesus is on the inside of you. Emmanuel, God with us, God in us, God through us to a lost and dying world. Now really, this message is not really just for Christmas. This is for January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, and December. Because it's the realization of that. You are his hands. You are his mouth. And you are his feet. I want everybody to bow your heads, please. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, please, if nobody, just move for a few minutes. This is imperative. If you've come into this place today and you have never given your life to Jesus, you've never said, Jesus, come and be my Lord and Savior, then I want to give you this opportunity to accept him, to say, Jesus, come into my heart. All you have to do, as I said, you just humble yourself and say, Lord, I come to you today. He loves you. He stands with arms wide open. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Will you come? Will you surrender to him today? Will you say, Jesus, come? If you're watching my television and you find yourself in that place, give yourself to him today. and say, Lord, would you come? Would you save me? Would you touch me? Rearrange me. I'm going nowhere. I'm spinning my wheels. I've been stuck in the mire of sin like a thick clay. I can't get free. But today, his blood will come and wash you clean and remove all guilt and shame. And you'll never be the same. He loves you. He says, come. Maybe you've come to this place and you gave your life to the Lord in days gone by, but you've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should. There was a time when you were radically on fire for God, but something happened and rocked your world. And today you say, you know, I've got to come back. This Christmas, I'm going to give myself to Jesus. And I'm going to say, Lord, take me just as I am. And he will. Not one will he turn away. Not one will he reject, because he loves you. Will you surrender to him? Maybe it's something hidden that no one else can see. Pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust, hidden things that clog the heart of man. But today he said, I will take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. Maybe it's not hidden. Maybe it's something outward that everyone could see. And the devil uses that against you to keep you in a place of guilt and condemnation. You feel like God will never use you because of things that have happened in your life, whether 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, whatever. But today the Lord says, come, come, come. Maybe it's not hidden or outward as we described. Maybe it's a storm that came against your life, a sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world. But today you say, I'm coming back. I'm going to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Today I surrender my life to him afresh. Will you surrender to him? Will you say, Lord, come? He will come and do that work on the inside of you, and you'll never be the same. Maybe it's not hidden or outward or these storms. Maybe you're here today. You gave your life to the Lord, but you're not sure of your salvation. The devil is always lying to you, telling you that you're not saved. But today you want to make sure. Today you want to know that you know that you know that you're a child of God. Would you do this right now? Would you say, Lord, I surrender my life to you afresh. And today I want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am your child. He will do it today. If this is you and you fit into these three categories, I want to pray with you and for you. Right where you are, quickly, just put your hand up. Say, pray for me. God bless you. Hands are going up through the building right now. Quickly, raise up high and say, yes, that's me. I'm not leaving here the same way I came. Today, I surrender my life. Just raise it up high and say, yes, Lord. I surrender my life to you today. Once you've raised it, you can put it down. I want you to look at me now, if you would please. In this whole section here, if you didn't raise your hand, but you want to be included in the prayer, I'm going to pray right now. Quickly, put your hand up, say, include me. Anybody else? God bless you. Anybody else? Slip your hand up right now. Come on, put your hand up high. Say, include me, include me, include me. All through this section, raise your hand up right now. Slip it up high and say, include me, include me. Don't leave me out. Don't leave me out. Don't leave me out this Christmas. Come on, slip your hand up and say, me, 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 me. I want everyone that raised your hand, I want you to stand right now. I want you to stand right now. Everyone that raised your hand. All those that raise your hand, stand. I'm going to ask you to come from where you are. Come stand around the altar. Come. We're going to pray. Come, we're going to pray. Come. Today is your day. Today is your day. Come. Today is your day. Come. Come now, come now. He calls you, he calls you, he calls you. Come, come now. Come now, come now. No delay, no delay, no delay. Today, now, now, now. the cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. You can take the whole world, but give me Jesus. You can take the whole world, but give me Jesus. You can take the whole world, but give me Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Oh, my. I want all of you to stand, that's standing here, to look at me, if you would, please. Today, there are three groups of people, those that have come for the very first time to give your life to Him, and those that have come to get rid of those things in your heart, things people know about, things people don't know about, and then those that have come that you want to come through this whole attack of the storm that's come against your life. And then those that have come to make sure. I want you to know how much He loves you. He loves you so much. And today, if you've been busy with God, God means business with you. So we're going to pray one prayer. One prayer fits all. Just close your eyes. Raise your right hand to heaven. That's where your help comes from. And just pray this together with me. Say this. Believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. Say, Father, I come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead, I will be saved. So, Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Wash me. Cleanse me. Change me. Fill me. Use me. Let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin. And I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this day on, I'll never be the same again. I confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith in the finished work of the cross and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. Now lift both hands and just thank Him right now. Father, I pray that you would seal them now by your blood and by your spirit, that on that day not one would be missing. Raise them up to be mighty men and women of God and use them to impact this generation, we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Thank you for watching today on YouTube. Please press the subscribe button and also the notification button and like and get the word out so others can watch.